Hong Kong reports its first case of a new COVID-19 variant, first detected in South Africa. Philippine doctors urge government to tighten restrictions on inbound travelers again due to the new and more transmissible variant. We'll tackle this developing story with health reform advocate Dr. Tony Liachon. The Education Department plans to expand face-to-face classes to over 100 more schools. And the chair of the Senate's Blue Ribbon Committee defends their actions against former presidential adviser Michael Yang in the probe into government's pandemic supply deals. I'm Rain Musni. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For those of you watching us on YouTube and Facebook, glad you could join us. We begin with this story. The new COVID-19 variant of concern that emerged in South Africa has made its way to Asia. There are around 80 confirmed cases of the variant called B11529. Most are in Gauteng province in South Africa, 4 in Botswana, and now there's at least 2 in Hong Kong. At least one of the cases in Hong Kong is directly linked to travel from South Africa. Scientists said this new variant has double the mutations of the currently dominant and highly transmissible Delta variant. This means the variant could evade the body's immune response, making it more transmissible. The World Health Organization is holding a special meeting Friday to discuss what the new variant may mean for vaccines and treatments. The UK acting swiftly, temporarily banning flights from South Africa, Botswana, and 4 neighboring countries. Returning British travelers from those destinations will be required to undergo quarantine.
Our scientists are deeply concerned about this variant. I'm concerned, of course, and that's one of the reasons we've taken this action today. I will say we don't know enough about this variant. No one does. I think probably the UK knows more than most because of the excellent work we do on surveillance. But I think it is right that we take this approach and we remain cautious.
A group of doctors calls on the Philippine government to act urgently to counter the threat of the new COVID-19 variant. Dr. Maricar Limpin of the Philippine College of Physicians says restrictions on inbound travelers should be tightened again. She warns there's a huge possibility of the new variant entering the country as more Filipinos abroad head home for the holidays.
Kahit gusto siguro natin na mas magluwag tayo sa mga kapwa nating Pilipino, pero kailangan siguraduhin natin na hindi ho makapasok itong virus na ito. Kaya importante palaging titignan ho siguro natin, hindi yung vaccination card lang. Importante ding malaman natin na wala silang dalang virus. So this means na kailangan talagang i-test natin. Importante, no? Mapigilan natin kung sakasakaling may dalaman sila ng virus, no? Ma-isolate natin sila, ma-quarantine natin sila sa Opo. Tamang panahon. Opo. At nang sa ganun, hindi ho sila makahawa ng kapwa natin dito sa ating bansa.
Meanwhile, a Philippine health official says government is not relenting on its efforts to prevent the entry of new COVID variants. Dr. Edsel Salvanya of the Department of Health Technical Advisory Group admits the mutations of the new variant discovered in South Africa are concerning, but he insists the most effective way to avoid getting infected is still the observance of basic health standards.
Sa ngayon, konti pa lang yung alam natin kasi yung mutations naman na nakikita natin, maraming mutations, more than 30 mutations nga sa spike protein, but it doesn't necessarily translate into real world. Kasi nakita nga natin, for instance, yung ating naging homegrown na variant dito sa Pilipinas, yung P3 or yung Theta, nakakatakot rin yung mutations niya. Pero hindi naman siya naging variant of concern katulad ng Alpha, Beta, Gamma, or Delta. So, while nakakabahala yung presence of certain mutations, hindi automatic na mas nakakamatay ito or mas natra-transmit or mas bumababa yung epekto ng ating vaccines.
Well, COVID cases continue to surge in Europe, prompting authorities to reimpose restrictions across the region. Over in Slovakia, a two-week lockdown began Thursday. This comes after a record high number of daily infections and hospitals reaching critical capacity. The government also banned unnecessary travel and gatherings of more than six people. All shops were ordered closed except those that sell essential goods. In the Czech Republic, the government announced a 30-day COVID state of emergency. This after a record 25,000 new cases were reported Thursday. During that period, Portugal also facing a surge in cases. The country reported over 3,700 new cases Wednesday. This was the highest daily tally in 4 months. And in a bid to curb the spread of the virus, all travelers arriving in Portugal are required to present a negative test result. Hong Kong and China moving closer to partially reopening each other's borders. Officials from both sides met on Thursday as they attempt to save their zero COVID-19 strategy. Hong Kong has followed China's lead to implement some of the strictest travel restrictions in the world, hoping that it would convince the mainland to allow some cross-border movement. They are now exploring a quarantine-free travel bubble, which is expected to start next month. Hong Kong is currently implementing a 21-day mandatory quarantine for all travelers, despite a virtually COVID-free environment. The Philippines logged 975 new COVID infections Thursday. Almost 200 more deaths were also reported. Active cases now stand at 17,796, the lowest since June last year. The positivity rate has stayed below 5% for 13 straight days now. If this holds for one more day, the World Health Organization says the country may already declare the pandemic to be under control. But the Philippine Health Department is still taking a cautious stance.
Na-experience na natin in the past, no, na napababa natin ang ating mga kaso, but after some time, tumaas pa rin. So kailangan natin ng longer period to assess and to evaluate what's happening. Kailangan din natin makonsidera, meron pong iba't ibang settings at iba't ibang sitwasyon ang bawat regional area natin.
The Philippines gets millions of additional COVID vaccine doses ahead of a massive immunization drive next week. Over a million Pfizer jabs arrived in Manila last night. Some 200,000 more are set to be delivered later today. Nearly 3.2 million AstraZeneca shots also arrived Thursday afternoon. The shipment is part of the more than 5 million doses that the United Kingdom is donating through the COVAX facility. The new batch of vaccines comes in time for the Philippines' National Vaccination Days on November 29 to December 1. The government aims to inoculate 15 million Filipinos in those 3 days. 177 more public schools will be included in the pilot implementation of face-to-face classes here in the Philippines. The Education Department says this has already been approved by the Office of the President in light of the improving COVID-19 situation in the country. So far, 100 public schools and over a dozen private schools are taking part in the pilot test.
DepEd and DOH have endorsed to the Office of the President to give DepEd and DOH greater flexibility in increasing the number. And they have approved this, the Office of the President, provided that we still keep the pilot nature of this stage. Secretary Briones has already instructed that all schools nationwide should already start administering the school safety assessment and preparing for face-to-face classes in the expanded phase anticipated to be early next year.
And going back to one of our top stories, a group of doctors urging the government to again tighten restrictions on inbound travelers due to the threat posed by the new COVID variant detected in South Africa. Let's tackle that with health reform advocate Dr. Tony Liachon. He joins us now. Doctor, good afternoon and grateful you could join us.
Good afternoon, Rain. Good afternoon.
The WHO is calling for an emergency meeting on the new COVID variant they're calling new What do we know about the B.1.1.529 variant?
Well, it's a variant that was first detected on November 11 in Botswana, and then on November 14 in South Africa, and then in a Hong Kong traveler who was first tested negative prior to boarding a flight to Hong Kong, and then tested positive when that particular person arrived in Hong Kong on a quarantine. So as we can see right now, based on reports coming from UK, as well as some virologists coming from South Africa, and of course the WHO, this particular variant should be monitored basically on its effect on increased transmissibility. And of course the other concern is, of course, it might render the vaccines ineffective if this would actually escalate into a variant of concern. So at the moment, it's a variant under monitoring, but based on the on record right now, it's outcompeting the Beta as well as the Delta variants. And we should monitor this given, of course, the impact and the far-reaching consequences of the Delta variant before.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, the Philippine College of Physicians, Dr. Limpin, already sounding horrified at the prospects of this new variant, not just in terms of transmissibility, but also its grave effects. But we also heard that it's not necessarily causing more death. Based on what we know, what does it mean that it has the highest mutations among the variants so far?
Well, it means that it has, of course, capacity to defend ourselves. Our immune response will not be as effective when it attacks the spike protein. And, of course, its effectivity on the vaccine. What is more important here is that what are we going to do with the variant? And all variants, because it replicates and makes copies of itself, then it would actually change its form. It can be ferocious, just like the Delta variant before. I would like to align with the Philippine College of Physicians to take a serious look on our border control, travel restrictions, and soon travel ban. Because most of the variants that came and arrived in our country would basically be coming from other areas and landing at the main portal of entry. And basically, this would be the NAIA and, of course, some areas that would actually cater to international flight. If you remember, our first two cases of the Wuhan came through Cebu. And then we had a surge sometime in August of 2020, 614G. And then on February 2021, we were not able to monitor the UK variant, the South Africa and the Brazilian variant, and that resulted in also in a surge while we warn against the these particular variants. And then, of course, a lot of people were calling for travel bans, of course, for from India and then Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, but we were late by 1 month, and then it penetrated the country. That resulted in that particular surge of 26,000, and we were on this particular bubble for almost 4 months. So as we look into a brighter Christmas because of the improving cases and improving positivity rate, and also prevention is better than a pound of cure, I would perhaps review our travel guidelines. Considering Hong Kong is also stringent, they would impose 21-day quarantine. Then I would not mind, of course, imposing the same quarantine restrictions to Hong Kong. And basically, because of its proximity and because of the holiday season, returning Filipinos, travelers, and overseas contract workers, and most of their flights, connecting flights or direct flights, will be, of course, coming from Hong Kong. Now, if the World Health Organization says that this particular B.1.1.529 is not a variant of concern, then we can relax rather than allow travelers coming from Hong Kong, Botswana, and South Africa to come in the country, because some of these countries are in the green category. So I would take that particular extreme caution, just like the Philippine College of Physicians. I don't think we will lose in this, particularly in this time of the year that we are ramping up on our vaccination rate. We might actually achieve a lesser positivity rate based on the WHO, but we're far behind in terms of our vaccination program. And that's the reason for the national vaccination program this coming Monday to Wednesday. And of course, the fast tracking of booster shots and also the vaccination for the children for the face-to-face classes that we're piloting right now and hopefully open up in January of next year.
Okay, lots of points you made there. We'll tackle them one by one. Of course, do we need to wait for the WHO to, accredit or maybe make this particular variant or acknowledge this variant as a variant of concern before we actually restrict our borders? What about the political and economic, repercussions of tightening our borders at this point?
There's a saying that those who actually would that listen or believe in our previous historical stories would tend to repeat it. And we don't want to repeat the three surges, and we suffered so much. I mean, travel restrictions in these three countries wouldn't mind. And we just monitor that. What I'm trying to say, for a country right now on almost a 20-month quarantine, it's better to prevent rather than address this situation now that we're ramping up on our vaccination program. It won't hurt us, but it will hurt us, just like a few index cases before coming out of mainland China and penetrated us through Cebu and then Dumaguete and the National Capital Region, and hell broke loose only on two cases. So that's my standpoint at this point in time. Our people have suffered so much, and we have waited so long. And of course, variants can only come through or sail through in the big airports of the country, particularly in the NCR.
A British immunovirologist says while the new variant may evade some aspects of the immune system, people have multiple arms of the immune system which target the virus at different sites. What does this mean, doctor? Do you think, and would it target the same vulnerable people?
Yes, I think the same vulnerable people that will be targeted. The senior citizens, of course, those with comorbid conditions. The same pattern, just like any of the variants. And we should be on guard. What is really, concerning is the fact that based on some of the data that we have seen, that it is actually outcompeting the Delta variant and the Beta. So whether it is a fact or not, I think we should consider this given the unpredictability of the course of the virus, particularly the Delta variant. So if this is on paper, that would outcompete the Beta and the Delta variants, then we must actually take this into consideration. There's nothing wrong on imposing our own guidelines separate from the WHO, because the WHO has been political regarding, of course, this situation. But we cannot be political. We must base this on our sense of vision as well as sense of urgency, that we cannot actually relax right now, knowing that we are seeing the silver lining as the cases are actually improving in the Philippines.
Doctor, 22 to 80 known cases in Africa so far, two in Hong Kong. And this is different from the latest surges in the United States and Europe. That's correct, right? What does the possible entry of this new variant mean for us in terms of preparing our people and hospitals as well as testing capacity?
Well, we should always be on guard right now, considering that even in the more progressive countries like Europe, the winter surge, even if they have primary vaccinations, they're ramping up their boosters right now. As you can see also in the U.S., even if they have, all these resources, all the vaccines, they're still suffering right now from this particular onslaught of the Delta variant. We should learn from the model country, that's Israel. After the attack of the Delta variant in Israel, they found out that a third dose would actually be helpful in terms of increasing the antibody, as because we know that after 6 months from the time of their vaccination, sometime in December, they noticed that the antibodies would wane, and those of course they'll affect their immunity. So when they started the third dose in July and August, as you can see, the cases went down. There were reports of zero deaths in the last 2 weeks, and they think that the third dose is actually is the fully immunized state. So I would like to learn from the progressive countries, and if the progressive countries are reeling from the Delta variant, then we should actually be more cautious. UK has actually banned the 6 countries from South Africa, and it wouldn't hurt us considering the proximity of Hong Kong to our countries, just a 2-hour plane ride.
Right.
And there are many, of course, Filipino workers in Hong Kong that will come actually in the holiday season.
Doctor, I know that restrictions have eased and people are just starting to enjoy some level of freedom, but how soon do you think before we should start restricting mobility and tightening borders again? Should it have been done yesterday?
Well, right now, the news broke out just 2 days ago in terms of this particular variant. I think we need to monitor in the next 2 weeks, but we need to put the IATF and, of course, the Department of Health on alert, as well as the DFA, on what we can do. I'm suggesting is that we need to restrict at least these countries that were, of course, restricted by the UK. UK being a model country, which is actually the gateway to Europe. I think we have to follow what they're doing right now. And then de-escalate later on after 2 weeks if we found out that there are no risks. And after the report of the WHO, I wouldn't mind doing it.
Right.
But if we cannot impose travel bans, perhaps we can reimpose our quarantine restrictions, and not the 3 days, but perhaps go back to, say, 7 days or even more, depending on the decision of our of the IATF and the Department of Health.
Doctor, the UK, as we've been mentioning, has already banned travelers from 6 countries, including South Africa, Namibia, Zimbabwe, which are still on the Philippines' green list. That means vaccinated, no need to quarantine, no need for testing. And Hong Kong also on our green list, but they already have 2 cases of that new variant. We're not testing travelers or mandating them to present negative RT-PCR tests. Why do you think we are not reacting faster and mandating it the way other countries are? And what does reimposing it mean for the economy? And on the other hand, how much of our people can we actually protect if we start mandating tests from travelers from foreign countries now?
Well, I think we're leaning towards the advice of the economic managers. And we have, time and again, we have been, of course, a witness to the dominance of the economic managers. And that's sad, because we usually are being the victims here. I'd like to reiterate that we follow what's the UK doing right now. And we must review the green list as soon as possible, knowing that these are the countries with increased cases right now. This might actually be few cases, but you know that the virus can transmit rapidly. And for all we know, that in one week's time, that will be a problem. So I think it's in the next 3 days, we need to impose travel restrictions in these countries, and then modify our green list so that we can protect our people. Because, you know, it may be a super spreader event, considering we will have about 15 million vaccination. We have a vaccination drive this coming week. Mm. And without, of course, alerting the people, we might actually suffer from a super spreading event. You know that this is a huge undertaking of the government, and we don't want that particular incident to coincide with this particular problem that we have right now.
Right. You did also mention that Israel is taking a third dose, booster shot, and considering that as fully vaccinated. What do you think the entry of this new variant may mean for vaccinations and current treatments for COVID-19. We have the national vaccination end of the month, just started boosters for priority groups. Do you think that they should go together? Do you think we would have more protected, we would have protected people soon enough to prepare for the new variant? Imagine a lot of these people are only getting their first dose by next week.
I think the call of the private sector to give them the latitude to help the government is a welcome development. But I think the national task force has resisted in terms of granting that because they want to prioritize those 70 million without the first dose. But I would like to echo that the private sector can actually operate on separate express lane so that we can actually fast track, because of course the national task force would work with the LGUs, but having the private sector helping us to inoculate their employees as well as their dependents would actually help a lot of people. And you know the capacity of these private companies to procure vaccines. For one, it would be also difficult for us to procure mRNA vaccines, which are actually needed for the students, because less than 18, it would require a unique kind of vaccine, and that's only Pfizer or Moderna. So these companies have the propensity or the capacity to order these high-quality vaccines that will be used for our kids. And also, these vaccines are RNA-based, and therefore their capacity to resist changes in the many of these variants would also be put into light. So I would like to reiterate again, heed the advice of the private sector to help. And of course, some regulatory changes to put some of this from EUA to a full product certificate so that the private sector can actually work out, particularly the mRNA vaccines.
Right, which also leads us to the pilot run of the face-to-face classes. What do you think this new variant may mean for those classes? Should we actually consider expanding face-to-face classes at this point? Do you agree with government's plan to reopen more schools?
I think I agree in principle that we have a pilot run for the students. And it's about time, because I think we're one of the last in the world, I think, together with Venezuela, to open the schools in terms of face-to-face sessions. And I think it's a worthwhile undertaking, considering we have the preparations in terms of the ventilation as well as the airflow. But this particular variable is quite new, this B11529. And this should actually be, you know, put in the consideration if we would like to expand. Now, the other thing is that only 3 million of the 12 to 17 age bracket have been vaccinated. And I think the National Task Force announced and declared that they would target 10 million of these kids so that they will be able to, you know, freely conduct face-to-face classes sometime in January. So I think I would still continue with the pilot run, particularly in low-risk area. But they have to fast-track, of course, the vaccination for these kids because these are the unvaccinated. Mind you, it was also Israel who first recognized that those affected were actually less than 18 years old. And that was the impetus for them, of course, to advice booster for healthcare workers, senior citizens, comorbid conditions, and even the 12 to 17. And those particular studies were used by Pfizer and other companies in the States to apply regulatory approval for the FDA. And the CDC adopted policies so that right now, just 3 days ago, anybody with two doses or one dose with Johnson & Johnson above 18 should actually consider a booster shot. And this should actually be in our planning stage, considering that the science is dynamic, variants are coming, and we're actually on the cusp of course, opening the economy. So let's try right now to ramp up the vaccination program, because our positivity rate right now is actually less than 5%.
Still lots of reasons to hold our breath and continue to exercise more caution. Health reform advocate Dr. Tony Lechon, always grateful you could share your thoughts and insights with us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Up next, St. Luke's Medical Center asserts the authenticity of its drug tests administered to presidential aspirant Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Stay with Dateline Philippines. Dateline Philippines, here's another look at the headlines. Hong Kong reports its first case of the new COVID-19 variant first detected in South Africa. Philippine doctors urge government to tighten restrictions on inbound travelers again due to the new and more transmissible variant. The Education Department plans to expand face-to-face classes to over 100 more schools. And the chair of the Senate's Blue Ribbon Committee defends their actions against former presidential advisor Michael Yang in the probe into government's pandemic supply deals. And let's get an update on the weather now with PAGASA forecaster Raymond Ordinario. Raymond, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Rain. And this is our forecast for the next 24 hours. Still, the shielding effect in the eastern section of northern and central Luzon, while the intertropical convergence zone is affecting the Palawan and Mindanao area. Because of these two weather systems, we're going to expect cloudy skies with scattered rain showers and thunderstorms over the Batanes, Cagayan, Apayao, Isabela, Aurora, Quezon, Camarines provinces, Catanduanes, including the Davao region, Basilan, Sulu, Tawi-Tawi, and Palawan. Meanwhile, generally fair weather conditions aside from some isolated light rains is expected over the Ilocos region and the rest of Cordillera, Cagayan Valley, and Central Luzon. Here in Metro Manila and the rest of the country, we're going to expect a generally fair weather condition aside from some isolated rain showers or thunderstorm. The temperature here in Metro Manila will range from 24 to 31 degrees Celsius, while in Baguio City, 16 to 24, and in Tagaytay City, is around 21 to 29 degrees Celsius. Ms. Rain, as of now, we have gale warning raised over the suburbs of Batanes, Cagayan, Babuyan Island, Isabela, and Ilocos Norte. We are still advising our fisher folks and those who have small sea crabs not to venture out of the sea because we're still expecting high waves. And over the next 3 days, we're not going to expect any tropical cyclone development or any tropical cyclone that may enter or develop our area of within our area of responsibility. And that's the latest from the Weather Forecasting Center of PAGASA, Raymond Ordinario reporting.
Raymond, any sign of cooler weather in the coming weeks?
We're still expecting the cooler days of the northeast monsoon will be around on the latter part of December.
All right, Raymond Ordinario of PAGASA, thank you so much for that report. Well, the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee has the right to look into the finances of President Duterte's former economic advisor, Michael Yang. That's according to Committee Chairman Senator Richard Gordon, despite Yang's claim the panel was violating his constitutional rights. Yang, who is embroiled in government's allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals, challenged the Senate's arrest order and immigration lookout bulletin against him before the Supreme Court. But Gordon says the foiled escape of formerly executives, the Dargani siblings, only proves the need for such orders.
Flight is a sign of guilt. Not showing up, avoiding, evading questions. From the very beginning, Mr. Yang, by the way, who has been given the privilege of having a visa, a permanent resident visa, that without checking, he has not been paying his taxes since 1999. Isn't it the right of the government to find out, where did you get money? Did you get your money selling drugs? After all, he's being accused of being a partner in drugs in Davao. I'm glad that they're putting money to Attorney Fortune's retainer. I'm happy for him, but I'm not going to be happy. He's not going to be happy with what's going to happen to Mr. Yang, because we're looking at deporting him eventually, filing cases against him because he has violated his the confidence of the people and that he should not be given any sort of privilege anymore.
A maritime law expert sees China trying to strangle supply lines to the BRP Sierra Madre to force Philippine troops to abandon the grounded ship. Professor Jay Batumbacal suspects Beijing is wary of physically interfering with the vessel since it's being used as an outpost by Manila.
If it is considered by them as an armed attack on a Philippine public vessel, no, that could fall within the terms of the treaty. And people think that by, when you say trigger the MDT, that means that there will be an automatic declaration of war and World War III will start. That is not a correct assumption either, no? Because responding to any kind of incident, no, even under the MDT, must be made in accordance with the laws of armed conflict. No? The response must be proportional and reasonable in light of the circumstances.
Batumbacal also shares why China wants the BRP Sierra Madre out of Ayungin Shoal.
For China, Ayungin Shoal will result in the expansion of their area of influence and control. No? They actually have a study wherein they already cataloged all of the reefs in the South China Sea and islands, and they gave it scores in terms of importance for whatever strategic or security purposes they might have. And Ayungin Shoal, which they call Renai Reef, no, if I remember correctly, scores very high on that list of priority areas for occupation and control.
That demand by China was vehemently rejected by the Philippines' defense chief, who called the Chinese the trespassers in the area. St. Luke's Medical Center maintains the authenticity of its drug test after netizens cast doubt on the drug test result of presidential aspirant Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The late dictator's son had taken a cocaine test at St. Luke's Bonifacio Global City branch in Taguig. The result was made public by his camp. But some netizens pointed out the document had no letterhead and had a different address. In a statement, St. Luke's clarified it was in standard format. It also explained why it had Barangay Ususan as an address and not Taguig. Senate President, Vice Presidential Candidate Vicente Soto III, meanwhile, chimed in on the issue.
Unquestionable is pumunta ka sa PIDEA. Doon mismo, kasi may system sila eh, kung paano gagawin. Hindi pa pwede yung basta drug testing center o kung saan clinic yan o ano. Hindi reliable yun. Una, yung drug testing kit na ginagamit pang shabu lang or pang marijuana lang.
Most presidential candidates for next year's polls have voluntarily submitted themselves to illegal drug testing after President Duterte claimed one of them is into cocaine. Action Democratico Standard Bearer Manila Mayor Isko Moreno and his running mate, Dr. Willie Ong, also test negative for illegal drugs. The two volunteered to take a drug test at the PIDEA office.
Kung nilalabanan natin ang droga at ang pangunahing ahensyang lumalaban sa droga ay ang PIDEA, then we should continue to recognize the agency as the proper forum or agencies to submit ourselves for testing, drug testing. The people of our country deserves to know. They need to know because isa sa mga sumisira sa ating lipunan ay ang droga. O kung talagang wala kang kinukubli, may tamang ahensya, PIDEA. You go here, submit yourself.
Voter disinformation and other means of influencing the public becoming one of the primary concerns of the Philippine Commission on Elections ahead of next year's polls. COMELEC spokesperson James Jimenez says they are now seeing how politicians are manipulating people on social media to get votes. Election watchdog Contradaya agrees. It says COMELEC should step up to fight disinformation.
No, we're no longer really looking at massive handouts of money. We're looking at really sustained efforts to hack the electorate, right? To influence how people vote, basically to change their mind about certain things. Things that we used to find unacceptable are suddenly being portrayed as baka pwede na yan or baka okay lang yan.
COMELEC, I think, should do a more conscious effort in calling out certain candidates who benefit from this information. We don't need to prosecute them under the full force of the law, but at least through extrajudicial means, calling them out would be one thing.
Sweden's first female prime minister has stepped down from her post just less than 12 hours since assuming the job. This report tells us why.
The newly elected prime minister of Sweden resigned less than 12 hours after taking office. Magdalena Andersson, the country's first female leader, led a government ruled by a two-party minority coalition. But an early fracture in that alliance caused her to step down.
This morning, I was elected prime minister by parliament to form a coalition government with representatives for the Social Democrats and the Green Party. The Green Party has now announced that they no longer want to be part of the government.
Sweden's Green Party quit after parliament rejected the coalition's finance bill, instead passing another drawn up by three opposition parties. That left Andersson no option other than to resign. The Green Party said, however, that it would support her in any future confirmation vote in parliament. Meanwhile, opposition parties have not been able to command the majority. Andersson took over as prime minister from Stefan Löfven, as well as leader of the Social Democrats Party. The Speaker of Parliament will decide the next step in the process of finding a new government, but will most likely put Andersson forward for a new vote in the coming days.
Thousands march across Latin America demanding an end to gender violence. In Mexico City, the women's march was marred with violent clashes with police. Officers used fire extinguishers in an attempt to quell the protest. The march marked International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. According to rights groups, at least 10 women and girls are killed in Mexico City each day. Back here at home, all prepaid SIM cards must be registered to reduce the spread of SMS spam or smishing attacks. That's according to Philippine Central Bank Governor Benjamin Diokno. He says while the rise of spam messages is not a major risk to cybersecurity at this point, supervised institutions should beef up their data privacy hygiene.
We know exactly what is wrong with the system. I think we can fix that. Firstly, by maybe requiring even the prepaid, those with prepaid cards to register. They got to be registered. I think our system is so loose or so lenient that you don't ask for the identity of those who are buying the prepaid cards.
Regulators, along with the country's telcos, banks, and e-commerce platforms, are now working together to curb the spread of SMS-related phishing activities. The National Privacy Commission earlier said investments of businesses in cybersecurity should be equivalent to the amount of data they collect. The world's largest IKEA shop opened in Pasay City Thursday, but it seems it's already fully booked, at least until the next couple of days. The earliest you can book a slot on IKEA's website is next week. People who want to shop there need to register first online as the retailer tries to limit the number of people inside the store in compliance with COVID-19 protocols. Store manager George Platzer says the building can accommodate about 8,000, but only 4,000 people, including employees, were allowed inside during its grand opening. Apart from ensuring safety amid the pandemic, IKEA is also striving to make a difference in sustainability.
Our vision also includes enabling an affordable, sustainable life at home, helping people to save energy and water, reduce waste, and recycle more through our product range. Everything for a better everyday life and a better planet. That extends to our operations too. As we strive to deliver 50% of our food offer should be plant-based by 2030. We partnered with fantastic Rags to Riches for a sewing service to support Filipino artisans. We are also working with one of our logistic partners, Mobile, to deliver products without any additional footprint through electric vehicles.
Well, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is back in New York City. After the pandemic forced last year's festivities to scale down, packed crowds fill the streets of Manhattan to watch a spectacle live. The show included a few fan favorites, including Grogu of Star Wars, the Sesame Street Gang, SpongeBob SquarePants, and the classic astronaut Snoopy. Overall, 15 balloons of different colors and sizes were paraded down the streets. And before we go, local health advocates reiterate calls to waive patent protection for vaccines, drugs, and diagnostic tools for COVID-19. They assert doing so would give poor countries better access to medical supplies. Advocates add the waiver could be a first step in distributing vaccines equally to various countries despite their economic status. For more on the story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rain Musmi. You want to visit or revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone, as you keep here on the News Channel.